we're so blessed that you decided to join us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. Tara has been doing a new journey, a new Bible study, and it is so great that we're going to learn so much from it. And without me talking too much, we're going to talk about definitions of with Scripture of what we talked about last time, and we're also going to then go into protocol and ethics of hospitality.
Okay. So we have looked at, we're studying how to treat the least of these, because Jesus says, what we do to the least of these, so we do to him. And we have looked at some strategies we need to keep in mind. We need to look at the stages of discipleship and the spiritual maturity of the people. We need to look at the cultural intelligence and how we can grow culturally and mature in that. And then we looked at the definitions for foreigner, stranger, alien, and sojourner, and then the Hebrew for the ger and the zar. And now what we're going to do is we're going to look at some scriptures that define, or not define, that show that, like, Jesus is called a foreigner. We're going to examine each of those. And then what we're going to do is we're going to look at the protocol and the ethics. I told you the first 4 weeks of this series was going to be a lot of information to prepare us to get ready. And then starting after this session, we will go into Abraham and his three visitors. So it's really exciting. Mm-hmm. So if I could get Carrie to go to Exodus 23:9. Sandy, would you go to Luke 4:24? And we're going to read Israel and Jesus, and then I'll give another scripture once we've done those two.
Okay, Exodus 23:9. You shall not oppress a sojourner. You know the heart of a sojourner, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt.
Okay. Sandy?
Luke 4:24. Truly I tell you, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown.
Okay. All right. Israel is told that they are called a stranger, or they're called a sojourner, they're called a foreigner, depending on your translation. Her translation uses sojourner. My translation was using the word foreigner. Sandy, which one? I don't know. You weren't there. So Israel, the actual whole nation of Israel, is called a foreigner. And they're called sojourners because they were passing through, because God's getting them to the promised land. Sandy read that Jesus said, no prophets except in his hometown. So he is considered a stranger as the prophet and not accepted by the people because of who he is. I want you to read Hebrews 13:2 for us, Carrie. Sandy, would you do Genesis 21:34? And we're going to see what it says in Scripture about angels, and we're going to start examining the patriarchs. All right, do you have it?
13:2.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 13:2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares.
Huh. Okay, so when we take the time to love on somebody that's strange, different than us, there is a possibility. Scripture has told us. That doesn't mean it happened only back then. That means today we still ourselves could possibly entertain
mm-hmm.
a
that's
messenger
kind
of,
exciting,
of God.
Really.
I know. And so angels are called strangers. Okay, Sandy, you're going to read Genesis 21:34.
And Abraham stayed in the land of the Philistines for a long time.
Okay, mine says, and Abraham lived as a foreigner.
Maybe I need a new version here.
In the Philistine country for a long time.
Which one do you have?
I have no idea what I pulled. Probably NIV is what I pulled.
That's what I'm in, NIV.
Huh. I don't know. Maybe ESV. Sometimes I pull.
I've got an ESV here, so that's
I
what
do
I'm
too.
So.
Yeah, okay. All right, so let's do, Sandy, why don't you go Exodus 2:18-22. And I want Carrie to do Psalm 69:8. And we're going to see now Moses.
Okay, did you say 13-28?
2:18-22. Exodus 2:18-22.
Here we go. When the girls returned to Reuel, their father had asked them, why have you returned so early today? They answered, an Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. He even drew water for us and watered the flock. And where is he? Reuel asked his daughters. Why did you leave him? Invite him to eat something with us. Moses agreed to stay with the man who gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses in marriage. Zipporah gave birth to a son, and Moses named him, this is where I'm going, Gershom, mm-hmm. saying, I have become a foreigner in a foreign land.
Okay. He calls himself a foreigner in a foreign land, but what you need to know is he names his son Gershom.
Mm-hmm. I see that.
And yeah. it means I am a foreigner. That's like saying Ger and son, Gershom, you know, mm-hmm. kind of thing. I don't know if Shom means son, but do you see how he even labels his son that? Okay, let's do David with Psalm 69:8. Sandy, wait, Sandy, you go to Acts 28:2.
Okay.
Psalm 69:8. I have become a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my mother's sons.
Okay. So David calls himself separate from his people. Mm-hmm. Okay, I want you to look up 1 Peter 2:11-12. Sandy, do Paul's Acts 28:2.
The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold.
Okay. That one does not use the word foreigner or stranger, mm-hmm. but the fact that he is on an island and they're not, he's showing that they're not a part and how they were treated as foreigners. Okay. And then the last one, Carrie, for believers.
1 Peter 2:11-12. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation.
Mm. Okay, so we are foreigners and we're in exile. And that's a call for us to live our lives in such a way that people see our good deeds. Mm-hmm. A good one to remind us for us is that it's through our serving those that are not like us that they will glorify God, and that's the whole desire of our hearts. That's the desire for this Bible study. Okay, so now, wow, that took a lot for us to get through this, but do you see how every single person, there is no one not called a foreigner, stranger, alien, or sojourner? It's a label that is given to all people, and so I thought it was important to point this out because I've been in many circumstances where I've been told, you just don't understand because you're not. And I'm like, I understand that I'm not somebody who's moved from another country to America, but everybody has a point of time where they don't belong. Mm-hmm. And if we can be aware and motivated to tap into the times when we don't feel we belong, that will give us the empathy to then to want to take care of and to minister and to love someone who's not like us. Mm-hmm. That's what needs to be tapped into. Now, what you have to know is that there are protocols in Scripture, and I am not going to have us read these verses, but I'm going to give us concepts, and I won't give the Scriptures. But if you email me, I'll be happy to send you this sheet with what the protocol is and where the Scripture reference is. So you can email me at tararye.com, and I will send it to you because it is really good, and there are many. I am not going to name all of them because there are way more. It's not exhaustive. These are the ones that I've pulled. How's that? So God's protocols towards a foreigner, here's two that I just wanted us to remember. God watches over the foreigner. That's Psalm 146:9. Do you guys have that on your sheets?
There is one on page. We're at the back.
You have it? Do you have your sheet? Because if you have your sheet, I would like to have you guys read them too. Like we can take turns. No, this one, do you have this sheet? We're doing business here on the radio, you guys, because I'd like to where it's not just my voice. Were you looking at? We can go on.
I was
on.
Looking at this, the psalm, this.
The protocols, page. Where it starts with protocols, but I think you're in a different spot than I am.
I think okay. We're in the same one.
Okay. Well, I'll do it. So
Sandy and I are in the same spot. Yeah. We were in the right spot. Sandy and I are in the wrong spot.
They're in a right spot.
Imagine that.
They're in a right spot.
So, Tara, take it.
I was just trying to give you a chance to talk since it seems like this whole
time.
We keep telling her it's okay. It's all right. So protocols. God watches over the foreigner. Not only that, God does swift judgment for mistreating the foreigner, the stranger, the alien, or the sojourner. That's in Malachi 3:5. Do you realize that? Do you hear me when I say that? God gives swift judgment. Mm-hmm. for the person that is essentially what we have to understand is somebody who's vulnerable, who has no home, that God is very protective. So we need to know that. Now, God has some protocols for the nation of Israel that he requires of them. And so here are just a few. This is not exhaustive, but this is some of the protocols that God required of Israel. He required that they provide food and care for the poor and the needy, because the poor and the needy fall into the category of the definition of foreigner, stranger, alien, and sojourner. And I'm not going to list out all the scriptures. He required that they judge righteously. He required that they show love for them. He required that they execute justice. He required that they protect them. He required that they bless and give to them. He required that they not oppress them. And he required that they be hospitable to them. These are requirements that he gave. These are commands. These aren't, if you feel like it, they are commands of God of how Israel was required to treat the foreigner. Now, guess what? The foreigner has commands as well for when they come into the land of what was expected of them. So here are the commands that were expected of the foreigner. They were expected to have the freedom to express their freedom. So we weren't allowed to put them in bondage. They were expected to honor the Sabbath rest. They were expected to keep God's commands. So the commands that are given and what they're to do with these, they were expected to love one another. They were expected to demonstrate respect. They were expected to have acts of worship. Now, what you have to understand, all of these are commands that are also given to us through Scripture. So these are not expectations God has on them that he has not put upon us. They were expected to abide by the rules and the laws of the land. They were expected to honor the Sabbath day and rest. That's in there many, many times. They were given the right to glean from the field. That's extremely important to understand. In fact, legally, Levitical law required that they were not allowed to glean the endings of a field, the things that fall down, because that was supposed to be for the people that were poor. Mm. They were expected to gather in community and had the right to hear and learn about God. Like, God commanded that we were to make sure we did that for the foreigner. They were expected to have or given the freedom to praise and worship God. They were expected to guard the boundary lines that had been provided within the community. They were given the right to know God. They were to share, just as the nation of Israel was required to share with them, they were required to share. They were given the right to receive power of the Holy Spirit. They were subject to all governing authorities. Just as the nation of Israel was, they were expected to as well. And they were expected to guard against the flesh. Just as we are, they are as well. So as we read through the text, you got to keep in mind, these are the protocols God had for himself, for Israel, and for the foreigner. So we're going to be asking ourselves, are they honoring it? It'll be fun to see, because what we're going to discover is that a lot of times there are people that do not. And we're going to talk about it when we get to them. Why didn't they? And what were they doing instead? And what were the consequences when they chose not to honor what God had set up? And so we'll examine those as we get along into the series. Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to take us into the ethics of hospitality. And this is the last section of all the information I'm giving to you, because I know I've been overwhelming. If anyone's listening, it's so much knowledge. Okay. What I found as we were doing this series is that there was a ethics of hospitality. So the ethics of hospitality is kind of like the summation of what they came up with in their putting the protocols together, they kind of summed it up into five categories. And so I was absolutely astounded by what God showed me in these categories. And so the categories show how they're to behave with one another. And we're going to use those categories every single week to help us process our behavior. And the test is not going to be easy. So the first category that they were tested in was community. Were they communal? In every single circumstance, they had to have the picture of the entire community. They had to be looking at everyone and how the interaction or their behavior would affect the community. And that greatly makes you think about your behavior. The second one was, are they generous? Two, the generosity isn't just generosity for the sake of giving, but it's to represent that God is generous to us, so we are to be generous to others. And so the generosity was the generosity of time, talent, treasure, lodging, and food, because people didn't have hotels to stay at. And so they may actually be opening up their home to an enemy and allowing the enemy to come into their house. Now, the crazy thing is they had rules with that too. So they would offer something, but the guest wasn't allowed to ask for more than what was offered. So offer little, and then they didn't have to, and then they would give much. So they would offer small amounts, but then they would give more, and that makes them appear more generous. And because the guest isn't allowed to ask for anything more than what you've offered. Mm. How funny is that? Mm. The third one is sacrificial. And the sacrifice is showing that they are willing to sacrifice as God has sacrificed for us. And that would be in the time, talent, treasure as well, lodging, food, and service. And then the fourth one is that they hold, it's the presence of God. They hold every single moment as sacred. That they believe that every encounter there is a possibility, I actually might be interacting with God. And so I need to hold my encounter with every person as sacred because I don't know if God's going to show up. And then the last one is the invitation to God's presence and his plan. So if I'm holding my encounters as sacred, the presence of God could show up, then I'm going to have an invitation to every person I interact with to join the purpose of God. Mm. And so they had to be communal, they had to be generous, they had to be sacrificial, they had to see God's presence and invite into God's plan. God bless.